Hello again once more. It's such a beautiful day out. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley wishing you the best of things to happen this day. May you just enjoy the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to go on with my good news theme. And the good news is that Jesus has this ability to bring us into focus in all the ways that we go and everything we do. It's a lot of years ago that a young preacher said to me, God isn't interested in the tiny parts of our lives, in the little things, and we waste time praying about that because he knows everything. We don't have to talk to him about it. I could not agree with that young man. I believe God is interested in the small things, and he is interested in the large things of our lives. He makes things that are impossible possible. He makes things that are ridiculous, really, come around to be good. Satan means lots of things that he causes us to go through, but God takes hold of those things and he turns them to our good. I look at this in a different way. I say to you, with great love, the Lord is responding to everything you do and everything you say, because he says he does. He says, you know, everything you say is recorded in heaven, and you're going to have to give an account for all the things you say. Now, I don't know that I want God to bring me up that tight, to be truthful. And yet, there is something going on in this spiritual life where God's so interested in me and what I do and what I say and where I go. And I've spent my life with words and the multiplicity thereof. I'm responsible for all of that. I have to give an account for all that I've said. So as I've got older, I've got more careful in what I say, much more careful in what I do with regard to what I say. And I'm very concerned that I can come into the place where I'm useful and God will bless me. Well, having said that, let's look at a story that happened to Jesus. Now, this happened. This is not a story that Jesus made up. This is a story of one of the things that happened to Jesus on earth. I have often wondered how many times Jesus wanted to give up on people. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith," to his disciples, "of all people, you should have faith in me. Be strong, because I am the way, the truth, and the life," and so on. But we somehow don't think that he's big enough and capable enough to look after everything that we get involved in. It may be that I'm desperate, I'm going in for surgery, and God needs to help me and give me courage. It may need that I've got some dreadful illness that won't go away. God needs to butt in and help me with that and give me strength, give me courage to fight off the things that are causing me enormous pain or enormous discomfort, whatever. And it might be that I'm having trouble with my children, and it might be that they're having trouble with me, and so there's a breakdown spiritually within the unit of my own family. All these things are important to God, and he didn't just sling our wives at us or our husbands at us, or he didn't suddenly say, "Okay, have a child, here's a child." We had a child, and he didn't desert us and say, "Now get on with that." He had much more to do and say than we can even begin to think about. I believe that it's absolutely essential that we understand that God is concerned for us all of the things that we do and all the things that we get involved in. Well, here's the story. Jesus had been preaching. Now, he had fed 5,000 people. I think you've heard me say before that most likely was much more than that. The reason being that most of those people had a wife and they had a couple of children at least. So that would be 20,000 people at, I think, a minimum. But that's not important. The miracle is in the 5,000. Jesus had nothing to feed them with. He didn't have a loaf of bread. He didn't have a fish. He didn't have anything. And yet he ended up with fishes and loaves and fed them all until they were stuffed. And they had enough. And then the disciples went round and collected baskets full of refuse, food that could be reused. There was an abundance of food. And the Lord Jesus gave that abundance. Well, now we come to Jesus walking from the mount that he was on, and the people were exhausted a little, listening to him for hours on end. He walked down to the beach, and they got up and followed him. And they thought, well, surely he's going to go along the beach and have a walk, so let's go with him. He may stop and turn and teach us more. That's my take of this. Instead, he got into a boat and he stood in the bows of the boat and he preached. And he preached to them about the glory and presence of God and how God looked after them. How the goodness of God filled them and kept them all the days of their lives. They were thrilled to bits, but Jesus was getting, because he was in the flesh, getting quite exhausted. One day I was preaching, and I preached in India 4 times up to the middle of the afternoon, had about a 2-hour break, and I went back and preached twice that evening. And I found myself at the end of those 6 preaches absolutely drained. And all I wanted to do was lay down. I couldn't sleep. My mind was going clickety-clack. All I wanted to do was that, but I was drained. I had no more strength. I could barely stand up. I fortunately had a place to rest that was very close. It was quite close to where the lepers were. But I couldn't pass the lepers. There was a big tent full of, they said, more than 400 people with leprosy. I wanted to go into that tent and talk to those people, and they physically restrained me, kept me out and away from these lepers. And yet the lepers needed the ministry of the gospel. I laid down and soon was refreshed, and at 6 o'clock or thereabouts, I was on my way back to the big tent where there were 26,000 people, and I preached once, and then we had a singing time, and then we went into the second preach. It was a big day. I slept that night like a log. Well, the Lord Jesus also had exhausted himself, and he had come to the place where he didn't quite know what to do, it seems. And in the boat, he said, let's push off and go to the other side. So the disciples were very obedient. They were fishermen and they knew how to row boats. And they shoved that boat out. And they hadn't been going for very long before the water started to get pretty heavy. The waves were steeper and higher and all that sort of thing. And they found themselves in the midst of a storm. And they rowed like crazy. They nearly broke their backs on those oars. And they came to a place where they were exhausted from all the rowing and all the bits and pieces that they did. Jesus was curled up in the back of the boat, sound asleep. Their cry was, Master, don't you care? We're going to perish. This water is going to flood the boat, we're going to drown. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus looked at them and looked at the weather and considered the boat, and he stood up in the boat. He looked at the wind and he said, "Shush, be still." And the wind was still. And he turned to the waves and he said, "Shush, be calm." And the waves were calm immediately. And within just, it seemed, a few seconds or minutes, the disciples were on the other side of the lake. But they were scared. They said, "What man is this that has the authority over the wind and the waves? There is nobody that has such authority." Nobody. And nobody was ever given the authority over the wind and the waves. And they had sort of the similar attitude, I think, to the people that were hanging on to the ark in the days of Noah, before they were swept off the ark and drowned. That was their sort of attitude. They had given up. Given up. Now, your experience may be so acute that you want to give up. And this is where suicide comes in. Many a man commits suicide when he gives up trusting Jesus. Once you trust the Lord Jesus, you can't give up. You can't move away from him. You cannot do it. And it's a very important thing to understand that the Lord Jesus gives us life abundantly. And that abundant life causes us to do exceeding abundantly much more than we can ask or think. It causes us to do great things for God so that we can get out and about and cause the Lord Jesus to be recognized as the power that is directing us and the power that is energizing us and the power that is leading us and keeping us and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is continually teaching us. Once we get there, then we have something to think about. We need to be people who talk to one another about the greatness of our God. I believe God is great, God is good, and God is tremendously concerned with people like you and I. And I believe with all my heart that it is God that is keeping us from falling. It is God that is looking after us. And when Satan turns on the screws, as it were, and makes our life tremendously unpleasant, it is Jesus that cries out, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. I have the power." And he will share that power with you as you get closer and closer and closer to him. The Lord Jesus has the power to give, and he has the desire to give, and the Holy Spirit power comes upon the person who is saying, "Fill me, Lord, take me, Lord, keep me, Lord." Now, years ago, I had a dear friend. It was a girlfriend, if you like. She was full of the presence of the Lord Jesus. It was wonderful to have her in our home. My mother was most impressed. She thought it was time for me to get married anyway. My mother was very impressed with her. We had a lot of fun together, traveled here, there, and everywhere. She arranged the meetings. I went and preached at the meetings, and so on we went. And the Lord blessed our fellowship, and it was really quite a wonderful relationship. It was purely platonic, but it was beautiful. And she and I did a lot of things together that the average person wouldn't be bothered with. Well, time came and her missionary brother phoned me from Africa and he said, "Cyril, we need to do something Pam is very unwell. He was a doctor, and she had expressed to him in a letter some things that were happening to her. And he said to me, he said, get her into this hospital, away from the hospital my mother put her in, because they don't believe in miracles and we do. So get her into that hospital. Well, I couldn't override her mother, and it was difficult. And then I was terribly busy and I got caught up with what I was doing. And when I came back from that sauté into the world and the preaching and so on, I learned that she had cancer very badly. And she had uterine cancer and was not expected to live. And soon this 31-year-old woman died. And my heart was broken, as with many other people that knew her. And we loved her and we knew her, but our hearts were broken. This was not fair, and this was not right. She was just such a lovely person. Oh, but God turned that to good. And many of the people that she had worked with, several hundred, so I'm told, turned up at the funeral. And whilst that funeral was going on, the Lord worked in the hearts of those people, and they received Christ as their Saviour, gave their lives to follow Jesus and to take up a new life living for Jesus. And Pam was dead. So there was something powerful, mighty, and wonderful that took place in that woman's life. Some of us were a bit sour. We said, why did God take such a gracious, sweet young woman? Why would he take her out and leave us? Some of us put ourselves beside her and realized how coarse and wretched we were by comparison. But she just had something that we didn't. And so she passed on. And God challenged our hearts and our hearts changed. People with hard hearts had quenched hearts, hearts that were soft and pliable and gentle. People whose hearts had been hardened in front of God were now completely changed in a way to show forth his glory. Such things happen, and the heaviness of it is always with us. After I finish preaching here, Pastor Bob Zachary comes on and his recordings are being played posthumously. And he has gone now for several years to be with the Lord Jesus. His wife still wants him beside her, longs for her to be with him again and he with her. Yet God has changed her life and she has become more patient and more loving than ever before. Because Jesus entered into this equation on her request as she laid her heart wide open before the Lord. But it took the sadness of the loss. It took the heartbreak of a death to bring her to that place. Was she wicked before and not wicked now? That's not what we're talking about. I don't know what the state of her heart was, and I can only tell you what the state of her heart is. It has a great longing for the Lord Jesus, either to go with him or to receive him when he comes. But she wants to love the Lord Jesus so that she will get another glimpse of her husband in eternity. And they will spend time, she feels, in eternity together. What's your boat like? Is it filling up with water? If you liken your boat, that is, your life, to the things that have happened to you and the experiences that have come your way, maybe you're just thrashed by the experiences. And all sorts of things do happen to us, and we are rocked and we are shocked into all sorts of circumstances, that is called life. Life on earth. But life on earth with Jesus is more powerful than the life on earth without Jesus. Someone has said, I would rather spend an hour with Jesus in this world than spend my life in this world with Satan. And I believe that's what Jesus was saying a slightly different way when he said to his disciples, it's better for a man to enter into this life halt or maimed, crippled, than to lose his own soul and entertain hell and hell's fire. What a dreadful situation that is, to get caught up in hell's fire. The burning, I think of the man that was suffering so, and he turned to God and he said, please, send someone to touch water with his finger and put a drop of water on my tongue, that the agony of this fire will go down. And he wanted very badly to go to get rid of the suffering of his soul. He wanted to be cleansed from all the suffering. But God said, I'm sorry. When you were alive in the world, you had opportunity to turn to me. You didn't turn. Oh, but I've got brothers. Send somebody from heaven to go and talk to them, that they don't go the way I've gone and end up in this place. And God said, sorry. They have the same ability to repent and believe and to come to me, and I will wash their sins away, and their sins, though they were scarlet, they shall be white as wool. If your brothers won't agree with that, then please understand that's their responsibility. So it is now. It's your responsibility to respond to Jesus. Never mind all the philosophies in the world. Never mind all the educated guesses that we're making in the world. Never mind the politics and all the other silly things that are going on. Turn your attention to Jesus and put your trust in him. And as you put your trust in him, be strong and ask God for strength day by day. Ask God to lead you in the way. Ask God to keep you from falling, and ask God to show you the next step, the next part of your life, and follow close to him. Take up your cross with Jesus, suffer with Jesus, and die with Jesus. Let death come to you, that part of you that is rebellious, that part of you that says, I can do all things, when only Jesus can say, I can do all things. Don't mimic him. Don't pretend you're so clever that you can be like Jesus, because you can't. But he will let you change, and he will give you life, and he will give you life abundantly. So now, collect your thoughts. We've just got 2 minutes or so to finish this area of thinking. But what's your boat like? Is it full of the garbage and the bits and the pieces of this life? Is it sinking? Are you drowning? Do you find depression comes sweeping upon you and you can't get rid of that depression? Yes, you can. I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how to deal with depression. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Tell him you love him and ask him to take hold of your life anew and to put instead into your life the power of salvation. And you will find suddenly your new life will see you through. Oh, precious is the preciousness of Jesus. Beauty and holiness follow those who follow Jesus. and you will have the power to live, the power to go, the power to be, the power to represent Jesus in all the ways of your life. You will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and the Lord Jesus will keep you from falling and hold you in the hollow of his hand. Be sure you can get rid of depression. It's not the big bugaboo that the doctors and counselors tell us. It's not the big, horrible, overwhelming feeling that we have that we need all kinds of pills and so on. One doctor will give you green pills, another brown pills. And there are blue pills, white pills, pink pills, all kinds of colored pills. But don't forget the gospel. And when you forget the gospel, then you've lost the joy of the Lord. Well, I must stop and look forward to meeting you again in our next program. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you help us? Give us renewed strength day by day and give us that ability to follow you all the days of our lives and to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us not look at others and their wealth and their abilities, but let us look toward you. All power is given unto you. And so, Lord, help us to see that power and win the privilege of using that power, that the power of God shall be upon all of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.